baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It's just so familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
If you're listening to a show about God, it's the God Castle. If you're listening to a show about fishing, it's a Rod Castle. But here today on Set Jetter Saturdays, it's the Pod Castle. Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you. Or is it?
Treating you, sir?
I don't know. We're talking today. I was like, the day after tomorrow is coming true every day.
It's happening every day. This will be the coolest summers of our lives.
I know, which is scary to think, and I feel like maybe it's time for a rewatch for the day after tomorrow and say, huh, that was Tuesday, you know.
I will. Not very scary. I will rewatch Day After Tomorrow. I don't think I'll ever watch 2012 again.
Oh no. Why would you want to?
Just so bad. Even in the theater.
Did you see it in the theater? Oh
yeah,
my
I
gosh.
Saw it in the theater. I was like, oh my gosh.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Was it Day After Tomorrow or 2012 where they rescue the royal? They try to rescue the royal family at Balmoral Castle.
Day After Tomorrow is right. That where it freezes and so forth? Yeah. So,
yeah. Little dig there at the royals.
I it's just obviously between the heat, Hurricane Harley you have headed your way, kind of. I assume no matter what, there's gonna be ramifications.
Going to be some rainage, I think. Well, Hurricane Hillary, I think by the time it hits LA, will be downgraded, but they're saying otherwise in some parts. Yeah. But I think everything will be fine.
Just Orange County.
Stay safe. Yeah.
Orange County,
Head north. It's just weather, but everyone, be safe. Hurricane Hillary. Somebody posted a meme of the showers and it was Hillary Clinton's face popping up in there.
Oh, I saw that.
And they're like, Hurricane Hillary's coming.
Why not Hillary Swank?
Exactly.
the new Karate Kid? The next Karate Kid? What was she?
The next Karate
next.
Kid.
Next, okay. Yeah.
Her finest role.
Well, I'm sure it is. Why didn't she win another Oscar for that?
Hillary's like Matthew. There's some people do it with 2 T's or 2 L's. And vice versa. You always have to like. To this day, I couldn't tell you how to spell Hillary Clinton.
You
couldn't. Looking. No. Or
there
swine.
We go.
So, what you've been watching? I'll kick it off. I watched. All right. I've been watching Heart to Heart, which is good. Have you seen any of it on Peacock?
The TV series? Like, tell me more. The original TV series, or is there a new Heart to Heart that I'm not familiar
it's
with?
It's Heart like Kevin Hart. To Heart spelling. Oh, so it's him doing his talk show.
I was like, Heart to Heart, well that's a little throwback.
It's kind of cool. He has good. He's like Bill Maher show. His circle of celebrities is so great, so he has like all kinds of like every guest is good and big.
Yeah.
And they're like very diverse, so I give him credit for that. But it's like he's better off as a stand-up comedian, I think, and an actor than a host.
A host has a lot to do with him. And at a certain point, you have to... It depends on the guest. You have to shut up, You just have to get the most out of the guest. And I can't picture him doing... Sometimes when sometimes late-night talk show hosts fail, where actors / comedians become not talk show hosts, that's where they fail. They're like, the show wants to be more about them, so...
Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, he just talks too much. And, it's like a 5-minute introduction. He has like somebody on. He's like, and I just got to tell you that growing up in Philly and seeing your movie, and I'm like, oh, the origin story. Like when him and Will Smith were on, I turned that one off. I don't really want to hear Will Smith. I lost a lot of respect since he went after Chris Rock. And
what?
The two of them together. I was like, I'll just watch somebody else, like Will Ferrell. But
all right. So yeah, worth it or not or no?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it for the guests. I think there's some good stories in there. I did watch Cliffhanger for the first time. Stop Traffic.
And you made me watch Cliffhanger. Not made me. Inspired me to also flip it on.
Yeah, you watched it too. It was. Yeah. You were right about the intro. It's very sweaty palms.
Oh, I freaked out in the theater. I think we knew it was going to happen, but it was a big deal at the time because people, there are certain things, obviously they use multiple special effects, but how do they do that? And I remember at the time it was a big deal because the safety cable behind the scenes was this huge like orange thing or something like that. And we just erased it and we're like, what? You know, at the time that was new.
Very new. And I agree with you on the special effects, like the jet scene where they hijack the plane and they jump. Was pretty good for 93 or whenever that was.
93. I was 23 years old. A young whippersnapper.
Sam, his biscuits are burning.
Jurassic Park was barely in theater.
Did you like John Lithgow's character?
Not
his character, but John Lithgow playing him.
The first time, yes. We're like, what a great villain. This time is like, can you chew the scenery even more?
I thought so too. Yeah. I was like, maybe not the best casting choice. I love John Lithgow. Yeah. He's a great actor, but I don't know.
It
was
buying
it.
Twirling mustache moments after moment. Yeah. It was just like, it seemed like an SNL parody at that point. You know, at the time, it seemed like he had not played a villain, but you know, he's usually almost always kind of the good guy. So
yeah, Harry and Henderson.
This was kind of a turn for him, but it was like, whew. But yeah. But yeah. So and there's parts that, I mean, some special effects did not hold up as well, but there's a lot that did, I thought, they shot a lot. I think it's supposed to be in Colorado, but I think they shot a lot in Italy. Look like some Colorado mountains. Colorado has some impressive
mountains. Oh, yeah,
the Alps. But yeah, so nothing kind of is as impressive as that. But yeah.
It was good. It was fun. I do like that style of movie making in the early 90s, some of the action stuff. They took a lot of cues from other movies. And it was kind of ridiculous when Michael Rooker has Stallone, he's holding him, he's like, just drop me. And I'm like, Stallone would like crush him. Come on. Get him, Rocky.
Yeah. So, and I know there's a requel going to, I think, in the works. I think it's happened a couple times, but I think this time, well, maybe once we get past the writer's strike that this could actually happen. So, and you know, and Rennie Harlan, I thought, you know, this is one of his moments at his best. You know, he did a great job. And
yeah. Yeah. And I like him as a filmmaker too. Yeah. I thought it was a good job. So yeah, Cliffhanger was fun. Good recommendation. I watched True Lies again. We've seen that.
I do love True Lies. Obviously, I'm a Jamie Lee Curtis fan, and to me, she's probably not steals the movie, but
it wouldn't be the same without her.
No, she's the standout. Her and Bill Paxton scenes. Yeah, I look behind me like just like you taught me.
I look just like you taught me. I love the end too, where they're like working in cahoots together, and it's got the right amount of tongue-in-cheek moments, and it's able to laugh at itself, which I love. And it's fun. It's like, it's not nearly as Last Action Hero is not on that level, but it does remind me of, it makes fun of itself a little bit.
Yeah, there's some moments that, like, and I've talked about this before, one of my favorite moment in True Lies, ignoring all the great Jamie Lee Curtis lines, when they have the nuclear warhead and it's on a crane, you know, and they're putting it onto this crate or something like that. And Tia Carrere's like, oh, my purse. And she goes, I don't know. It's like this throwaway thing, not necessary to anything, you know, part of the script or plot. I mean, anything. I thought that's one of my favorite moments.
It was brilliant. Yeah. They put it in there.
Yeah.
And I do love when Schwarzenegger's about to be like tortured and he's like, and the handcuffs, I picked them. And he's like, oh, and he tells him everything he's going to do. And he
does. Right. First, I'm going to, I can't remember. Yeah.
You know, there's a video game, Nightfire 007. It's like 2002, I think. And the opening of that is very similar to the opening of True Lies. And I feel like they ripped it right off. And it was like, good. Good for them. It's fun.
Gotcha. So yeah, that was 94. So just the following year.
Following year, I've been watching some Cheers episodes first season. I haven't visited that show in a long time, so it's fun. You know,
how is that? Yeah.
You know, it's good. It's still funny. I mean,
yeah.
Racy for the time. Some of the jokes for the early 80s, pretty good that they got away with it, I think. Like, well, there's a scene where Ted Danson, like, takes his pants off, and you're like, wow, okay. I guess the censors let that slide.
Well, and they weren't quite number one. I mean, that show became a hit pretty quickly, I remember. But
yeah, the first season, the ratings weren't good, and then second, it just blew up.
How was the laugh track on that? And I asked because my sister and I sat in for an episode, was watching Family Ties.
The laugh tracks? In any show.
Like, just kind of like, none of this is funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I maintain the laugh track hurts like every show to this day. I mean, I don't know.
It's clattery and tinny, and it's after every joke, and I put joke in quotes because something's like, is that funny? You know, was it funny at the time? Yeah, so. And then if you're kind of off to the side listening, that's all you hear. You know, you don't hear
dialogue
or anything.
That's all you can focus on.
Yeah, so it's like we were forced when to laugh.
Yeah, right. Please think for me.
Has anybody ever taken a non-laugh, like added a laugh track, let's say, to The Office, you know, to see how awful it would be? You know what I mean? Or
oh, yeah.
That's a fun
thing to do.
Yeah, add in beats, you know, so there's no, you know, because sometimes it'd be like a stage where people are like,
oh, yeah.
Actors have to pause and for the laughter, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think even doing that to shows that aren't funny, like The Sopranos or something, like just throw a laugh track in there.
I did add a laugh track to one of our mayor's commercials.
Did you? Oh, nice.
I thought I was being funny. But
that is funny. Who's the mayor of Omaha?
Mayor Jean Stothert. So she was just out at our building a couple weeks ago. But and she was nice. So
good behavior.
She probably forgot that I did that.
That's funny. The laugh track. So just what else I've been watching? Gettysburg. I'm sure one of your favorites. A 4.5-hour Civil War movie.
Now that would be the movie to add a laugh track to.
That would be it. You know, Gettysburg, I love that movie. It's so well done. I think Jeff Daniels and Martin Sheen, they did a fantastic job. But it does lean more towards a Confederate propaganda film, which is exactly what Roger Ebert said. And I can see you feel a little sympathetic towards the South, like their characters, and you're like, no, they were bad people.
You get sucked into that. Well, you think about how I was taught history, American history in particular, for a number of years. So not unsurprising, but good for Ebert to
point early that out. 90s, called it out. But yeah, it's a great movie, and I'll always love Gettysburg. And I watched Friday again. I do love Friday. I haven't seen it in a long time. So it's always fun to check back in and watch Ice Cube and his supporting cast members.
I only saw that once, so, but
yeah, it's funny. It makes fun of itself. It was Ice Cube's first. I mean, he wrote it and
put it together. As an actor, right? I mean,
his first as an actor, and I think he did Boys in the Hood first, but it was his first that he wrote and like produced or whatever. But I could be wrong, but it reads like a play, you know. It's like a 1-2 setting, maybe four main characters. So yeah, I think structurally it's good. So, but good. That's what I've been watching. What about you, sir?
My kind of off times have been watching Alias, and by watching Alias, I've been on I've been to a few locations, you know, her apartment and so forth, but I was like, I rarely do an entire TV series of locations. I'm like, you know what? I love the series. I love it enough. I have an Alias tattoo. You know, so I should be doing a full on location. So I'm on season 4 And it takes a while because I'd be watching, but I'm also like looking up locations, trying to figure out where stuff is out, what's still around, you know, after, it's been over 20 years since the show has been, first premiered. So, which is crazy.
That is crazy. That's cray cray.
Yeah. So, and there's parts where I'm still like, she's not going to get out of it this time. You know, obviously she does, you know,
but it's good writing because you get,
you're
captivated.
Yeah, they have some great, so many great guest stars, you know, as they kind of go along. But I kind of forgot about some of them as well. But So I've been, you know, and it has its up and down. I mean, I forget. I mean, 22 episodes. Of course, there are filler episodes, you know, like in between. Yeah. You know, you can't kind of keep that.
And you can tell.
Yeah. And listening to some of the commentary, it's been interesting. And, you know, they told, you know, JJ was like, we were told to stop having these long character, you know, our story arcs, you know, that they wanted episodic.
Mouth breathers told them to stop.
In between and whatever. And part of me was like, what do you, do what the studio tells you. So.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Was Bradley Cooper an alias?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So first season and then a little bit less second season and then a couple here and there kind of episodes. So he said he had kind of an awful time.
he was like on cocaine and stuff, right?
During it. Yeah. But yeah, Will Tippin, that's where, you know, he got his start. And
yeah,
Jennifer
Garner. He made a name for himself.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's still good. And Victor Garber, Jennifer Garner, I mean, they're all just, they bring it every time.
They
so.
Bring it. Yeah. I love that you have the tattoo as well.
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
So yeah, I have for any Alias fans, I have the Rambaldi tattoo on my leg, and I should have put it right here on my kind of hand where they sometimes have it in the series. But
since you do have real estate in your hand for a tattoo, you should do the lips and the mouth so you can do a talking
hand. So it's just permanently, so I can always do that. I am Jennifer Garner.
Screwed it up.
But yeah, that's so funny. And Jennifer took a picture of that tattoo. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So somewhere she might have that. She's looking at it right now. She has a Polaroid.
Right now.
Like, why do I have a picture of this guy's leg?
It's on her. It's in her car, so she can look at it on the visor.
I think that was just a year and a half after the show ended, too. So she was fresh off.
Oh, wow.
Off
yeah.
Alias. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
I also watched Asteroid City.
Yeah, how is it?
I did not. It was unenjoyable, unfortunately. But usually, you know, I like his stuff well enough that there's enough kind of to it. But this was just a lot to. Not much was happening, and so
really, it was kind of stagnant.
Yeah, you know, it felt like somebody else doing a Wes Anderson almost. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was missing some good characters for some reason. So you know.
Because I know there's a lot of good like cameos in it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was very curious about that, but I knew I wouldn't see it theatrically. So.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad I didn't, because I would have probably hated to have spent money on it. But yeah. But yeah. I like everybody in it, and everybody kind of looks right and is doing what they're supposed to be doing. But it just didn't kind of gel like his other movies do. You know. So.
Yeah.
So kind of unfortunate, but.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah. I also watched, don't ask me why, Lake Placid versus Anaconda.
What is this?
Well, it's a combination. It's like, you know, they start after, you know, the first original Lake Placid was great.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Anaconda, they made a kind of another theatrical sequel. And then I think it kind of became a sci-fi thing. And then this kind of became a TV movie, I think, for sci-fi or something like that. So. But I was like, you know, you're flipping through and I'm like, well, Robert Englund's in it, you know?
Yeah. Corin Nemec as well from The Stand.
The Stand right there, you know?
Sure.
Harold, what was his name in The Stand?
Harold Lauder.
Oh, God. Yep. So,
we have a young publisher. Wow, Daddy. How cool. Let's just say I'm from Missouri. Still from Missouri. Country don't mean dumb.
You'd be so proud to know that. Yeah,
I just love that lake. It's called Lake Placid versus Anaconda. Like,
yeah.
Like the lake is fighting the beach.
Well, it's the alligators. Alligator and crocodile. I can't remember anymore. So it might be a step up above some of the other kind of sci-fi things. Obviously, they got Robert somehow, so they had some money. But yeah, it is ridiculous and kind of bad special effects. And as you can imagine, you know, snake versus alligator and so forth. But no, you know, like usually I would have turned it off a lot quicker, especially when there's 10 annoying sorority girls, you know, like we got to take the trip down the river. They're going to the beach. And I felt bad because in these beaches, you can always tell it's like looks like a Jersey lake with, you know, 5 feet of sand. You know, it's not a recreational lake. Yeah.
Oh, you know.
They're like, oh, it's fine. Like, you could tell they are freezing and they hate it and there's nobody else there, you know.
It's fine.
Bunch of unlikable characters, but
I want to see it.
Well, it's one of those, put it on while you do laundry, put it on the background.
Yeah.
But I felt
it's
like, you know,
2015 I'm reading.
Yeah, I had to see it, so.
You got to see it.
Yeah.
This was a Sci-Fi Original Network.
Okay. It reeks of Sci-Fi Original.
Oh, I bet. So, and yeah. I bet it's fantastic.
And then I started watching, I'm just a couple episodes in for Painkiller on Netflix, which is really good so far.
It's Michael Keaton, right?
No.
Who's in Painkiller?
Matthew Redman. Not Matthew Redman. Matthew Broderick. And some other, he kind of plays, more or less it's kind of at the beginning of OxyContin, how it became an issue.
Yeah.
It's more than an issue. Kind of the opioid epidemic, how it kind of unfolded, kind of going back in time.
Is it a mini series or?
It is. Yeah. So I'm like on episode two. It is, there's some parts I think are, I should say fictionalized, but you know, like, they have to take some narrative license. And each episode opens with somebody saying that this is, you know, dramatic, you know, based on real events or whatever. But each person that is saying it, you quickly realize it is a mother or sister or somebody from passed away from opioids and so forth. So, which is when they keep grounding in reality that, you know, this is all true, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an ongoing threat.
Yeah,
sure,
absolutely. So far so good. It's been really good. Peter Berg, I know, directed the first episode. I don't know if he directed them all, but
he's great.
Yeah, who also shows up in Alias, in
great
a few
Peter
episodes.
Berg.
Yeah, so
no, that's but, I'm gonna keep an eye off that. I was gonna watch it the other night, but it was like kind of late. I wanted to give it to like the respect it deserved, so maybe tonight I'll fire that up.
So far it's good. I think it's a 6-episode series, so I really like it. It almost reminds me of, and now I can't remember the name of the drama that was based on the hospital down in New Orleans during the hurricane with Carrie Jones.
Memorial,
kind of that same where, you know, it's a dire
Baptist memorial or whatever it was.
Yeah, you know, it's a dire story, true story, but the actors do really well to kind of make it come to life.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye out for that. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what you've been watching. In other news, Madonna turned 65 on August 16th. So happy 65th birthday, Madge! I'm sure you saw her reel she posted on the gram of her in the party house.
I did. She always has great birthday parties and. It's always kind of curious who's there, you know, what did she decide to do for her birthday party? Oh, okay. And how was it?
Was
the meal good?
There.
Yeah. Oh, you were working.
I was doing security for her. No.
That's also got to be interesting. Yeah. To see, you know, like to be working Madonna's birthday party because you're in the middle of it. You're going to see everything too. You know,
you're right there. I'll work for free. Just get me in there. Is she known for like her birthday parties? Does she like always throw the thing?
Yeah, she always does go somewhere or whatever, and I think they're kind of put on for her. But she, you know, she celebrates. Yeah,
I like it. I like it. Happy birthday, Madge! What else do we have? This is the last thing I got. I'll bring up on this. I got to give a whole section to the Friday the 13th Facebook group that you invited me to. It's like the best thing ever.
And I can't remember the name of the group, but it's
like Everything Jason or something.
Yeah.
There's 94,000 members, and the moderators must do a great job because all the comments are like, I wouldn't say they're all respectful, but there's like, they weed out like the trash very quickly because most of the ones I've seen are like good, poignant, like arguments and this. And I've been spending so much time on there. Like asking people, like, what's your thoughts on the Nintendo theme song? And there's always like things just pop up and there's like memes. I'm just so thankful to Robert for introducing me to that group.
Well, it started because they were talking about Friday the 13th cops and police officers. I'm like, well, this is right up your alley. I was like,
that was
nobody,
it.
Nobody would love to talk more about this than Matthew.
I was so amped up when I saw that. And I get in there and, you know, people are talking about, like, there was one meme. It was a guy and a girl, like husband and wife in bed, and the woman looks worried and the guy's thinking, and the woman says is thinking, I wonder if he's thinking about another woman. And the guy's thing says, how did Jason get the axe cut on his mask in Friday 13th parts 8 or something like that. And you know, they're talking about like the best ones to play them, and it's just so much fun. It's a wormhole.
Yeah, yeah. So no, it's usually a good group, and when I stick around still to kind of see so I like it for the most part, and then sometimes there's newbies like, hey, how did the ship get to New York? You know, like, we've covered that. You know,
I know. That's how it is in the the Jaws group, and like newbies will come in and will be like, do you notice those yellow barrels in part 2 are the same barrels in 1? And people are like, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
We've moved on.
We've moved on.
Sure,
but that is an awesome group. Somebody posted the other day about 5. They're like, why didn't, and that's a good point. And I'll ask you, Robert.
All right.
The killer in 5 was a paramedic. Why didn't he take care of his son rather than leave him in a halfway home? Makes sense, right?
It's a different type of
care.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he didn't have a choice. Maybe it was his damn wife.
Maybe it was state mandated.
Yeah. Yeah. And Pinehurst wasn't the best, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about 5 on that one.
Well, it was and probably for the most, I mean, it was the black sheep at the time because it was like the non-Jason. It was like, what? You know, they're messing with it. And it was not well liked. And it's kind of a dirty, grimy movie at the time. And it was the Halloween 3. You know, like, we're like, this one, does it count? Does it not count? Is it not Jason? So,
yeah,
it gets brought up a lot. Yeah.
Somebody also posted, I guess, the diner that was used in 1. They were like, here are some coffee cups that were used during the filming. And somebody was like, doesn't mean they were actually in the movie. And I was like, yes, it does it. And for all, if somebody posted a coffee cup that was actually like in the movie, that would be excellent. But for the diner to be like, they were used during the making. I'm like, they could have been in a basement. You know,
I think that's where they found. I think they found them, and they're probably from 1980. And they're like, "Hey, we have these that were from that era."
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know what, you probably Friday the 13th, you take what you can get from the original. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, very limited.
There's nothing out. You know, nobody kept anything, or you know, was not auctioned off at the time. So, so you might be like, "Oh, you." But part of it is like it looks like any other coffee cup.
Yeah.
It
could have been anything. It was a stretch. I guess is my point.
But people will buy anything. I remember I was telling the owner of the Jarvis house that she was going to replace the her kitchen counter. I said, you could sell pieces of that. You know, people would buy. You know, people are just like really?
A little tile or something.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was like, oh, yeah. I'd be like, you know, yeah, this is, you know, I mean, I think, you know, Scott Michaels with Dearly Departed Tours, you know, we got a chunk of like the fireplace from,
3.
What's that?
From part 3?
No, check out the fireplace from real life location from the Manson Helter Skelter.
Oh.
Sharon Tate's.
Yeah, and Cielo
fireplace, Dine. You know, yeah, that, you know, destroying that, you know, people.
Yeah.
have anything, or people, I see online that people sell like from like Halloween ends, people are like, piece of the radio station. I was like, I went to the radio station, and are you chopping up a brick, you know? Or
yeah.
And one is actually somebody I kind of know. I mean, he has pieces, you know, pieces of Laurie Strode's house, you know, it's like a half inch by an inch, you know, piece of wood. And I'm like,
yeah.
What are you gonna?
What are you gonna do with that? Yeah. I would buy a piece of wood from like the bridge and three, the dock or something like
or
that.
Something, yeah.
Like, well, an actual big piece.
Well, don't say that because they actually gave pieces of that away to some fans when they were rebuilding it. But yeah,
oh, really?
At one point it gets so tiny, I was like, well, what, you know?
What are you gonna do?
Can you imagine me making my house tour? And I'm like, and this is from the cabin from, and people are like,
Here it is. All right.
I won't even ask how much you paid for that.
Right. Sometimes it's a stretch.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh gosh.
Well, they used to have like trading card series and so forth, and Alias would be one of them where they would chop up a Jennifer Garner dress that she wore, and you'd get a little cloth.
You get like
swatch.
A square.
Yeah.
Like a and, relic.
Yeah. And I was like, what? You know, and you,
what are you
like,
gonna do with this?
Yeah. At least they put it into a nice card and so forth. But
yeah.
Even Madonna, I remember the. I think it was Rebel Heart tour. The VIP tour book had a piece of. It came from the same swath of fabric that they used for her costume or whatever. And I was like, oh, all right, you know. Like,
the same swath.
Yeah, it was kind of a strange.
Yeah, it is funny.
Thing.
Okay. So thank you for the Friday the 13th group recommendation, sir.
You are welcome.
Oh, and one of my favorites. We have taglines. Guess the movie by tagline quiz. Am I in the hot seat today?
You are in the hot seat, and I don't know. So I will start with one, and I did all these, and I'm like, this might not be the right year for you to really know some of these. So this might be tough.
Okay.
I
welcome the challenge.
First one.
I'm excited.
I try to make it a little bit easy, and the first one you would also begin to set what the year is. So
okay.
There's two different ones I'll give to you. First I'll say either one I think might give it away. I'm trying to think which one.
This is a softball question.
Yeah. Okay. Coming May 25th, 1983, to your galaxy.
Oh. Return of the Jedi?
It is.
All right. So we're 1983.
Yeah. So the other one was the tagline I saw for that is The Empire Falls. I'm like,
Oh, yeah. That one I knew. Yeah. For sure. The Empire Falls.
Yeah. So some of these are pretty simple. So this might be kind of another softball. So a tribute to the original, traditional, 100% red-blooded, two-fisted, all-American Christmas.
Christmas one. Oh. Can you say it one more time, sir?
Repeat. A tribute to the original, traditional, 100% red-blooded, two-fisted, all-American Christmas.
That would be A Christmas Story.
That is A Christmas Story.
All right. But where was that filmed, by the way?
Part outside of Toronto and part... is it Cleveland is where the house is, or Cincinnati?
Cleveland, I think, supposed to be. I didn't know if that's where they filmed it.
So the house is there, and then a lot of the other location. It's kind of a mix between there and actually not too far. Like the school is like just a few miles from Niagara Falls on the Canadian side.
Okay.
So. Okay. Nobody.
Red Rider. Sorry.
It's still, for the most part, it still holds up. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets just overblown during the Christmas holidays, but
too much.
Nobody does it better 13 times.
Nobody does it better 13 times. Friday the 13th?
No.
Part 3? Yeah,
nope.
No. Nobody does it better 13 times. I don't know.
So I'll say it's the 13th entry in this series.
Okay, that's where my head went to, but I was like, what was 13 times? Then it would have to be...
You might know what series it
is. James Bond.
It is James Bond.
Okay.
You might not know which one it is.
Is it Never Say Never Again?
No.
Then it would be... The... I don't know. It's
Octopussy.
Octopussy, yes. Never Say Never Again wasn't a real Bond movie. Wasn't that the, like,
rip-off? It is a James Bond movie. So actually, I'll give you the tagline for that, because that's also the same year. Sean Connery is back as James Bond 007.
Never Say Never Again.
So, yeah. So that was supposed to be the movie versus movie.
Right. Yeah.
Time for that.
Octopussy.
So I was talking about 83. So this is not quite your, you know.
Okay. All right.
Year or whatever, but this is kind of what I picked at the time. I think because I had some great 83 movies happening for anniversaries.
No, I like it. I like it
this week. So
it's a solid year.
He loved the American dream with a vengeance.
He loved the American dream with a vengeance.
This is my mentee's favorite movie.
Oh, okay. He loved the America. I know the tagline. American dream. Give me a clue. Like, what genre is it in?
It's a remake. I've seen if there's
Scarface.
Other... It is Scarface, yeah.
Yes. Look at the pelican fly. Come on, pelican.
I was looking for another tagline, because one of the other taglines, like, is the world is yours, which is also right. the globe thing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, which... This one you will not get, but I'll tell you anyway. Forget what's legal. Do what's right. I wouldn't have guessed what this movie is.
Trading Places.
It is not. It's 10 to Midnight. Charles Bronson.
Oh, 10 to Midnight. Okay. Yeah.
Not the tagline that you would think it is. So.
I like it.
Here's one of my favorites. Come to laugh. Come to cry. Come to care. Come to terms.
Terms of endearment.
Terms of endearment, for sure. So
it's time for our meds.
Get my daughter the pill. Yeah, we still shout out that line. So shot just a mere 50 miles from my location.
Yeah.
That's
it's the Lincoln Airport in there too, right?
It is Lincoln Municipal Airport. I think it's not municipal, but yeah, so many Lincoln locations and Houston.
Yeah.
They're not just
Unless
getting
you're
rich.
Cursing on my face. Sorry.
Was that a that was a PG movie too? Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Wow.
They're not getting rich. They're getting even.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
No, you may have already said this movie as a different guess, but.
Oh, okay. They're not getting rich. They're getting even.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I said this already?
You said this as a guest already.
Oh, okay. Then it would be Trading Places.
Trading Places.
That's
yeah.
it. Okay.
The other one might have just given it, you know, take two complete strangers, make one of the rich, make the other poor. Just watch the fun there.
Watch the fun.
I says watch their fun while they're ... Trading Places.
Trading Places.
This one has a couple. What a feeling.
Flashdance.
Flashdance it is.
What a feeling.
The other tagline is kind of like the plot, you know. Every day she works in a man's world. Every night she dances through the universe that is her dream.
She danced her butt off to get to that school.
Which sounds like a showgirl's tagline.
It does. Well. There are some underlinings.
Yeah. This one has some various ones, so I'll read a couple of them. The only winning move is not to play.
Okay. The only winning move is not to play. What's another one?
To David Lightman, global thermonuclear war will be just one hell of a game.
War games?
Yes. To everybody else, it will be hell waiting to happen.
Let's be the Russians.
Yeah.
It would be the Soviets in 83, Broderick. I do love war games. I always see past the arcade and I always think of
it's right by
war
you.
Games. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still good. I did try to watch, they made a sequel to that.
Oh, did you watch that?
I could not get through it. It was like the same. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Something
like
that, yeah.
War games.
It is good, so.
It is good.
He's back and the fever still burns.
Staying alive.
Staying alive.
Staying alive. The fever still burns.
Yeah, another one is one woman needs him, one woman loves him, but Tony Manero has got to follow his dream.
I love it.
The sequel nobody wanted.
Oh, nobody.
This one I was kind of disappointed because it was kind of bland. Dirty Harry is at it again.
Dirty Harry.
So that's the first movie. So the Deadpool? 83 Snow.
Oh.
Sudden Impact.
Sudden Impact. Yeah. Yes.
All right.
I expect more from a San Francisco cop movie.
Yeah, I was looking for it. It's like, I guess that's all they need is like, hey, it's a Dirty Harry movie.
Yeah. This is what you're getting. You're getting a lot of grunts.
Come see it. Meet the model son who's been good too long.
Arthur.
No.
Meet the model son.
Yeah, which is a strange one, but the other one, it will also be elliptical, but I won't say the title.
Okay.
There's a time for playing it safe and a time for...
There's a time for playing it safe and a time for... Not going to get this one.
Risky business. Risky business.
Oh, risky business. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. At the time, you know, they had to sell it, you know. Like,
yeah. What's about it?
When mom goes to work, when mom goes to work, dad goes berserk.
Mr. Mom?
Mr. Mom it is.
Mr. Mom. Classic.
The other one is Carolyn's a rising executive. Jack just lost his job. Jack's going to have to start from the bottom up. Like, ugh. A man having to go to the grocery store.
Ugh, and a man having to iron.
Buy tampons. What?
How dare him? So dated.
This one should be pretty simple. Every summer, Chevy Chase takes his family on a little trip. This year, he went too far.
Vacation.
Yeah. I was like, it's not even a character name. It's Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase. That is funny, yeah.
It is, yeah.
The guy from SNL's and Caddyshack's in this movie. Just go see it. Oh no, Wally World.
Let's see. The story of eight old friends searching for something they lost and finding that all they needed was each other.
Is this a Rat Pack movie?
No.
Not Rat Pack. Rat Pack?
No. Another one. In a cold world, you need your friends to keep you warm.
Big Chill?
The Big Chill it is.
Okay. Okay. Big Chill. All right.
Let's see. I went ahead and did Never Say Never
Again.
It's a
good quiz.
It is. But that's why it's like 83. That's not quite your era, but you know.
It's all right. It's all right. It's fun.
This one has a couple different ones. Reaching new depths of terror.
A Jaws 3D?
It is.
Nice. They also have
the third dimension is terror.
Fitzroy.
I think is exactly from Friday 13th, Part 3.
Yeah. Total.
Another one I saw was A Deadly New Attraction.
Seal the park. The shark's in the park.
Yeah. So the next one has two taglines. One is just a few words, and one is like six sentences.
I love when they're like a page.
Yeah. The skies will never be the same.
Starman.
No, does not give you much. So
okay.
Or here we go.
Okay.
Flying the most lethal weapon ever made. At his fingertips, the infrared camera can see right through your bedroom walls. A microphone that can record your most intimate conversations. An electric cannon with six barrels that can turn your neighborhood into a raging inferno. But he's not headed for a war-torn country. He'll be cruising the skies of America, and then only one man can stop him from using it on you.
No idea.
It's not as well. Blue Thunder.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was kind of... Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was... For sure. Yeah. And they actually made that into a TV series, which is
they
kind
did.
Of strange.
They did.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Blue Thunder.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you thought the night before was funny, wait till you see the next day.
If you thought the night before was funny.
It's funny. Wait till you see the next day.
I should know this, but I don't.
You should. I'll give you a clue. The Next Day is the subtitle for this movie.
The Next Day.
It is.
It's the subtitle for it?
It is.
Saturday the 14th.
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Porky's 2, The Next Day.
Oh, is that what it is? I've never seen Porky's. Never saw them. They're good, right?
Homework. You go watch Porky's.
All
and
right.
Porky's 2.
To the homework list.
Yeah, let me know what you think, because you know I grew up in the 80s and this was the American Pie of the 80s.
Porky's. Bill Murray, right?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No. This will be your homework. Yeah, Porky's 2, because it's like Halloween 2. It picks up right where the other one left off the next
morning.
Oh, I
love that.
Yeah.
The continuity.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And they actually called it The Next Day.
The Next Day.
Just like Halloween 2, the same night.
Perfect. Sold. Yes. Done.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back to the shower.
Psycho 2.
Correct. The other tagline was, it's 22 years later. And Norman Bates is coming home.
What could it be?
Thank you. It could be anything.
It could be anything.
Which, you know, now it's, you know, Psycho 2 has always been kind of touted as, at the time, people thought it was blasphemous. But now it's probably our first, what people would call a legacy sequel, you know, where, you know, two decades plus, and they brought that same person back and created something.
The original legacy sequel.
Yeah. So there it is.
Good point.
On June 24th, four acclaimed directors, George Miller, John Landis, Joe Dante, and Steven Spielberg, take you to another dimension.
Starman.
That was John Carpenter.
Take you to another dimension? Spielberg?
Yes. George Miller, John Landis, Joe Dante, four directors, bringing you to another dimension.
Oh, the Twilight Zone, the movie.
Twilight Zone, the movie.
Yes.
One was indicted for
John Lithgow's greatest performance.
It is. That's where. Yeah, same year he was.
Yeah.
It was just 10. Yeah, there's only 10 years between there and Cliffhanger. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Interesting. They grew up on the outside of society. They weren't looking for a fight. They were looking
the
to
outsiders.
Belong. The outsiders.
There. No jazz before the rumble. Hey, Grease. Hey, I didn't mean that. I meant kid. I'll see you around, Randy. Which that actor, what's his name? Dewey from The Outsider, or from Southland.
C. Thomas Howell?
C. Thomas Howell. He's also in Gettysburg. He does a great job in that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
A couple different ones. I'll do the least one. Enter the Gateway to Hell at Your Peril.
Hellraiser.
No.
Enter the Gateway to Hell at Your Peril.
Or The Most Evil House on Earth and Its Legacy of Horror.
Poltergeist.
No.
House.
No.
House 2.
No. I'll give you one more tagline.
Okay.
This is an actual tagline. This picture is not a sequel to the pictures The Amityville Horror or Amityville 2, The Possession.
Okay. So Amityville 2.
Amityville 3D.
3D.
Yeah.
Was that the one? No, it's 2, the one with Burt Young, right?
Yeah.
Where he plays like the worst guy ever.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
This one, I'll skip that one. It took a twist of fate to make them two of a kind.
It took a twist of fate to make them two of a kind. Splash.
The movie is two of a kind.
Two of a kind. Okay.
Libby Newton-John and John Travolta back together.
Oh.
For first
the reunion
and last
we
time.
All wanted.
Yes. This one, there's a couple different ones. And
okay.
I'll start with the... Now there's a new name for terror.
Now there's a new name for terror.
I'll give you the second one.
Children of the Corn.
No. Unleash the Terror.
Unleash the Terror?
Yeah.
Is it the thing?
It is not. I'll give you one more.
Okay.
There's another one that I can't believe they use. His bite is worse than his bark.
Cujo.
Yes, much, okay. Much worse. Yeah.
I still love that movie poster for Cujo with the teeth.
It is a good poster. So
it is.
Yeah,
and it's just the Saint Bernard. It's like such good writing. They're not scary dogs.
No. Kino Lorber is doing the 4K version of that. And speaking of Kino Lorber, then I just got my Needful Things.
Oh, nice.
4K with the TV. I haven't watched it
great
yet.
Great Ed Harris.
We'll see.
You got to let me know how the extra feature.
Yeah, I feel like that's when I need to sit and watch. And so.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, last movie, and there has multiple taglines, and I'm trying to figure out which one. I'm going to start with the one that you should know. We'd be the least amount of hints, you know, because the others I feel like give it away. So,
okay.
This time is going to be the best time of all.
Friday the 13th, part 3.
No.
This time is going to be the best time of all.
No.
No, give me another one.
And the others all kind of give it away. So I'm trying to figure out which
is
the least to give it away.
All right.
The world's superhero and his toughest adventure
Superman
yet.
Superman 2.
1983.
Okay. The what? Can you say that last one again? Por favor.
Okay, I'll do another one. I'm just saying it's 1983.
Okay.
If the world's most powerful computer can control even Superman, no one on Earth is safe.
Superman 3.
Superman 3 it is.
Oh, I forgot that was 83.
Yes,
okay.
So.
All right, Richard Pryor, he did a good job.
Yeah, my favorite, like, this time is going to be the best time of all. I'm like, really?
Really?
That's
quite the... Quite the milestone. That's a good quiz, though. Those are some good movies. I want to watch War Games now.
I was really... What I didn't realize, because the computer voice in that, because I was kind of curious and I just learned earlier this year how they did that, because obviously it was a human that they redid their voice, but what the person did is he had the lines, but he said all the words in backward order. So and then when they put them together, that's why it's kind of this weird stilted, you know, like you try to say it like the computer does, shall we play a game, you know, like it, rather than it's kind of saying like that, he was saying game A, play, shall we, you know, and that's why when you put it back in regular order, it has this weird resonance.
That's a really cool detail.
Yeah, so it's like, okay,
detail.
That's one way to, because I don't think at the time there was nothing to worry, they just put that in and they made a computer would say the words or anything.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
So, you had to really isolate the sound. That's amazing.
Yeah, so... So there
the password
it is.
Was pencil in that movie.
Pencil, yes. That's
pencil.
It's easy to remember.
How can a kid just put a dime in a telephone and hack into our security? I always thought that was funny. Even as a kid watching that, they did like the tours and they're touring NORAD. I'm like,
tour NORAD. Well, they might have at the time. I don't know.
It was like, they're like taking pictures. I'm like, just put the Russians in there.
Maybe that'd be another thing where you can mix up some, you know, that's another mashup we should do. I was telling my sister about our Boston mashup, you know, where the town van is going by with Sean Penn yelling at the park and, you know, everything is happening.
DiCaprio's undercover watching.
Yeah.
Mark
I feel like
Wahlberg.
We should do like an 83 thing where all these things are happening in the same city or same simultaneously, you know?
Oh yeah. No, it's perfect. I do love our Boston mashup. I feel like the 83 would be a good one.
Yeah, you know, like Superman is ignoring everything going on at NORAD because he's too busy with Richard Pryor.
Yeah, he's too busy. What's he gonna
like? What's going? Where's Superman? Why isn't he helping us?
What's going on? What's happening? As Anthony Perkins watches from the house,
watching a missile go over. What?
Okay, and finally, folks, it's time for Blind Man's Bluff. Random entry from Robert's beautiful website at setjetter.com. And I'm going to preview this entry with the description that Robert wrote, minus the name of the film. Today marks the anniversary for the movie version of blank. The early 90s had a craze of taking older TV shows and making them into feature-length films. Many failed. But this one, I still find funny.
Is it the Beverly Hillbillies?
Sure as heck fire is, sir.
I love the Beverly Hillbillies.
Clampets. I love the Beverly Hillbillies. And I love the TV show. I love when they go to Central Park and they build like a cabin and they're like, that's kind of when the show is going down, but they're like, they kept it going.
It did. And, you know, I remember reruns being on at grandma's house, you know, and this is what we would watch. It was Beverly Hills, you know. Oh, I kind of hated it at the time, but you know, you had like two
Me
channels
too.
You know, and it was like, that's all we had, you know, 4 o'clock Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, I remember growing up, not like I liked the Three Stooges growing up, and I was like, Beverly Hillbillies, like I want to watch this. And yeah, then you appreciate it, you're like, oh no, this is great.
It's the same joke all the time, but
do you remember the opening of the show where like they have the oil coming out of his shoes?
Yes.
And next thing you know, they're just driving into Beverly Hills. They don't upgrade. They don't buy a car or anything. They just move to the mansion. Like, it's perfect. Yeah.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. But do you are you seeing the screen,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
So lead us through this masterpiece.
All right. So, of course,
we know where this is.
We get to proper. Yeah. So we're right actually in Beverly Hills. So off of Beverly Drive. And then as they kind of drive through... And I can't remember. I had to use
would
some...
Would not see a homeless man there, though, in real life.
Yeah. No, probably not. So.
Absolutely not.
And this the street really never changes, but, you know. That
no.
These are pretty kind of quiet streets. And these Beverly Hills houses, this particular, they're rather not, assuming they're not the overly done mansions that you see nowadays.
No.
That,
no, that they're classic style.
Still expensive and so forth. But, yeah, so that's that location. And then we actually move over to the other Beverly Hills, of course, Pasadena.
Pasadena.
So they stop right in front of this house is best known as, you know, the house from Benson, TV series in the background. So
good call.
And then they actually turn into the house across the street.
On Oakland Ave.
On Oakland Avenue. So, and I actually just made notice that this house has been, the original house, I think, is no longer there, if I remember right. That house was also used in Fatal Beauty, which is one of my favorite.
Was this house, no, it's not. I was going to ask, was this, who's the guy that Phil produced the Beatles? Murdered somebody, went to jail.
I don't think this is
that's not his house.
I don't think so.
That's okay.
Like, as far as I know. But anyway, the gates are still the same, so.
Okay.
This is the actual Beverly Hills Police Department.
Really? They actually filmed it.
Or kind of in there. Yeah, so which is always nice. And so that has not changed too much. I think they added some more kind of handicap ramps here and there. But you can see that pretty much looks the same, and they kind of redid the driveway.
Oh yeah, okay.
To get in, but
nice shots.
But yeah, so some of these I think I only just did last year, so
very nice.
Yep. So the Commercial Bank of Beverly Hills, which is made up building, but so I kind of recognize that amongst my driving. So I think that's off of Wilshire. Yeah.
Oh yeah, cool.
Drive. So
what were they doing at the bank again? They were just getting the money.
Yeah. So which I like because like they got three of the 9 to 5 actors, you know, between Dabney Coleman, Dolly Parton, and Lily Tomlin are all kind of back in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Dolly, of course, is just a cameo. But yeah, Dabney Coleman plays, you know, the, I can't remember the character's name, but
yeah, so they did get three. Yeah, that is cool.
Beverly Hills High School is Beverly Hills High School. So
oh. Authenticity.
The 90210 crowd, that this is not the school you see in that TV series. But
right. It will shock them.
There it is. And it looks...
Nice
the
shot.
Same, yeah. So, or it did at the time. Not too much had changed. So,
no, that's cool.
Yeah.
North so Crescent Drive and
I am a stickler, you know, for finding every shot. So, if I can,
great
so
job.
This is kind of where they did a U turn around. So,
who was in the car again?
I can't even remember now.
Okay.
And then we have some Sunset Boulevard shots, which,
yes,
sadly, less and less will be showing up in real life anymore as they continue to tear down everything. So
it's going to look like Miami Beach and
it I don't
years.
It's
going to
look so bland and like nothing, like it'll lose all of its character.
I got to plug State Social House. My good buddy Chad Wiener is the general manager there.
Oh, really?
State Social House, yeah, for some good times and good drinks.
Nice. Let him know it's immortalized on my website.
I will certainly pass it along. It was Red Rocks back when they filmed this.
Okay.
Anyway. the Barnaby Jones office.
Yeah, this is the actual exterior they used for Barnaby Jones, I think, out in Pasadena. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool old building.
Yeah, so nice yeah. looking. Taken from my car, of course, because it's too lazy to get out.
Yeah, well, you got it. You nailed it.
I did. So those are the major locations. Of course, Cloris Leachman is Granny.
Oh, yeah.
Was in this show. So she was really good. And Leah Thompson is...
Perfect.
I still laugh at some of her lines where she plays one of the evil ones infiltrating the family.
Yeah, she's great. She really is. Was this at Sundance?
Yep, yep. So
nice.
Kind of catch them at a good time. So.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, and I threw the, you know, here's the one from TV series, which I don't know if this.
85.
Yeah. So that's one of my. That was my first trip to LA. So
you were only 3 years old, Robert.
I wish. but yeah, so I remember, you know, that was big deal. Because remember at the end of the TV series, they'd be waving and stuff like that. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. That's cool.
Yeah. So you can always tell those the non-digital pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
The time. So
no, it was a big. Awesome.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I remember we took that tour and we saw. Well, it's funny. We saw the Heart to Heart house. And we saw the 9 to 5 house on that tour. So I just remember I was excited. I was like, oh, movie locations. At 15, I was so excited. So
that is so cool. But that is a great page.
And if you have not seen the Beverly Hillbillies movie, I enjoy it still.
I do too. And I think that in the same vein, because it came before Brady Bunch.
Yeah, because Brady Bunch was 95, so.
Right. They did a good job with some of those. They just need to do a Gilligan's Island one that's good, and it'll be set.
Yeah, they never quite got... They kept doing a couple of TV movies and stuff like that, and with the original cast.
It got
cast.
Worse and worse, like Return to the Island. And,
yeah.
Yeah. The Gilligan's Island, I do like.
Yeah, I feel like
they could do a good job.
Yeah, they probably missed the boat on that.
Yeah, no, yeah, the 90s is when they should have
been. Ha,
ha. It should have been Rick Moranis as Gilligan and John Goodman as Skipper in 1994. Yeah. Like, that would have been the movie, and they missed it.
I wonder why they did. I wonder if there's some rights issue, because they did everything out. You know, they did Flintstones and Dragnet and Car 6, whatever. You know, they just added everything.
Car 54.
So, yeah. But they really didn't do, so maybe there's too much.
Too much rights.
Yeah.
Interesting tidbit about Gilligan's Island. In the first season, when they're leaving the harbor, the flag is at half mast, and it's because they filmed that the day Kennedy was assassinated, and the flags were lowered. And it's kind of sad, a little bit of history, but interesting.
I feel like they should go with that, and that's why nobody went searching for them, because everybody was too distraught.
Too distraught. You know. They're just like, we're not.
Nobody was missing
this.
A boat, or you know, we should do another mashup. You know, where you know, like what's the movie where it's a Sundance movie? They filmed with live sharks. You know,
oh,
the couple that's left. You know,
yeah.
So you could just have like they're all with like 100 yards of each other where they're trying to get the Titanic sinking in the back. You know, like,
yeah, just mash them in there.
The Carpathia going by the SS Minnow. Trying to get to the Titanic.
Passing it.
We can't stop now.
We can't.
And their wake made them crash into that little island. And,
it's exactly what we need.
Exactly. And a laugh track.
Yeah. Yo, get that laugh track going.
Yeah.
Another thing about Gilligan's Island that was funny was the first season, if you remember the theme song, it's like Gilligan, the Skipper 2, Millionaire and his wife, and the rest.
And the rest. Like, you couldn't. Later, they squeezed the other couple of characters.
Yeah.
But, like, couldn't you be, you know, can you imagine?
There's two more people.
Yeah, where you're like waiting there, you're like, oh, I guess I didn't make the credits.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I think that's why they did it, was their agent, like, you know, they need to be recognized. But it was like two more people.
It'd be like doing the Brady's where, you know, Marsha, Jan, Peter, and a couple more.
And if get a couple more.
That we can't name now.
That we can't name now.
Sorry, you can see their picture, but yeah, they didn't even show their picture. They was just and they're
and the rest.
They left it open to a
pound for pound, Brady Bunch is much better than Gilligan's Island.
It has better repeat value.
Yeah, yeah. Much
so.
Better.
Even though one, the kids semi grew up, and then at Gilligan's, they quickly obviously there's only so much they could do, or it could have only so many people accidentally show up on the island, then also disappear again.
Right.
Not since Lost have we had people just show up and disappear again.
Disappear again.
Yeah. It was interesting listening to some of the commentary on Alias that they were alluding to, you know, JJ be like, oh, I'm working on a new series that we actually use this plane, you know.
Right.
Now you know what's lost. At the time, you're like, oh, I wonder what that could be.
I wonder what's going to happen.
Who's going to be, you know. And what's they said something about, what's his name is going to be on it. So if that show gets picked up, then he won't be returning to Lost. So I was like, oh, yeah, it did get picked up. But.
Right. Do you watch Revisit Lost ever?
No. I watched it live. And I was one of the, you know, it was intriguing at the time, you know, the first couple seasons. And that part, you know, where they realize that they are just really kind of making it up, admittedly. And then it had one of those, like, how can you possibly end that one that would be satisfying to whatever? And it's one of those, nobody was satisfied. So,
I'm with you. I like the show, but they were making up as they went along. Yeah. And there's just so much they could have done differently, but sweeps the room. But that'll be your show tonight, unless you have anything else, Robert.
No, I'm good.
All right. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Podcastles, Set Jetter Saturdays, and we will see you on the set.